Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of issues, etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
When the last battle has been fought, the flag of Israel is still going to be flying over the ancient walls of Jerusalem. Israel will prevail, and Jerusalem will be the praise of all the earth. The Bible is a Zionist text from Genesis to Revelation.
That's John Hagee speaking recently at a Christians United for Israel conference. He says the Bible is a Zionist text. What does he mean by that? There is a kind of Zionism, Christian Zionism, that is very popular nowadays, especially in the United States. It's going to be the subject of our conversation for the next half hour of Issues Etc., live this Tuesday afternoon, August the 17th. Joining us to talk about Christian Zionism, Stephen Sizer. He's vicar of Christ Church in Surrey, England, visiting lecturer at Wycliffe Hall at Oxford University, and author of the books Zion's Christian Soldiers and Christian Zionism. Stephen, welcome back.
Hi, good to be with you.
John Hagee's probably the most popular religious representative of Christian Zionism in the United States. He says that the Bible is a Zionist text from beginning to end. Is it really all about how one reads the Bible?
It's nothing really at all to do with Zionism. I'm afraid John is rather ignorant on this matter, I'm afraid. I mean, Zionism is a 19th century political movement that was largely secular in origin, born out of Russian socialism, aspiring to colonize what was known as Palestine. And it wasn't until the 1930s, 1940s that you find Christians in particular using the Bible to justify the return of the Jewish people to Palestine. So to say the Bible is a Zionist document is rather vacuous. It's reading back into history. Facts are plainly untrue. The Bible is God's redemptive plan for saving the world, including the Jewish people. But that salvation is through Jesus Christ, not through a political system we see in Israel today.
Describe some of the tenets of Christian Zionism. What are the basic beliefs and positions?
Well, it starts from the view that the Jews remain God's chosen people, and that the Bible prophecies that were made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on apply in perpetuity to the Jewish people today. It's based on the view that the promises God made to Abraham in Genesis about the territory that God was giving Abraham from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates applies to the Jewish people today. Therefore, they have a divine right to most of the Middle East. Jerusalem is their eternal undivided capital. The temple is going to be rebuilt, and that there'll be a final war of Armageddon where the nations will conspire against Israel. Those are the basic tenets of Christian Zionism, and they have very little biblical basis at all.
Who would be some names of advocates of this position that might be familiar to our listeners?
Some of the health and wealth prosperity gospel preachers, people like Benny Hinn, Morris Cirullo, Rodney Howard Brown, a good number of the evangelical right, people like James Dobson perhaps would subscribe to this theology, Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell till he died recently, was probably the most influential advocate of Christian Zionism. John Hagee's taken over Jerry Falwell's mantle in many ways. But these churches tend to be led by individuals from a Pentecostal, charismatic, or independent stable rather than the mainline denominations. the Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians tend to be much more critical or skeptical of Zionism in America today.
What are the, I want to say primary texts, but not only the books written by these Zionist advocates, but also the books that they like best, the ones that they think establish the case for them?
Well, do you mean biblical books or secular books?
Secular books. I mean, books other than the Bible.
Well, John Hagee's written a number of books. Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, Mike Evans. He wrote a book recently, The American Prophecies, suggesting America is mentioned in the Bible. Another book he wrote was Israel, America's Key to Survival. The whole theology of Christian Zionism in America is predicated on the idea that God is blessing America because America looks after the Jewish people. So it's associated with a prosperity gospel and uses the carrot and the stick. The carrot being God will bless us if we look after the Jewish people, and God will punish us if we don't. So Pat Robertson got into trouble when he suggested 9/11 was God's punishment for America's failure to recognize Israel's claim to the land. He's not the first, and he won't be the last to interpret contemporary events in these ways.
So you mentioned before that the actual ideas of Zionism grew out of a Russian socialistic movement, an attempt to repopulate the land that had been formerly occupied in the Old Testament at various times and places by God's people of the Old Testament, the Jewish people. How did this Zionist movement begin?
Well, it depends how far back we want to go, but the Jewish people have been persecuted mercilessly through Europe for centuries, and that's entirely lamentable. But in the 19th century, with the rise of nationalism right across Europe and the Middle East, with the decline of the Ottoman Empire and the perpetual wars between the French, the Spanish, the British, the Germans, the Russians, you had groups of people right across Europe aspiring to national identity and sovereignty. For many of the nation states that we take for granted today are relatively recent phenomenon. Countries like Romania, Hungary, Poland, the Czech Republic, and so on. And at this time, there were groups of Jewish people in Europe, places like Vienna, and in Russia, aspiring to national sovereignty. And a number of them began to write, and Theodor Herzl was one of the leaders in the 1880s, 1890s. He wrote a book about the Jewish people returning to Palestine, and a number of his colleagues gathered together formed the first Zionist Congress in Basel, but they were largely helped by Christian groups in Europe and America who believed that it was their destiny to assist the Jews back to the land. But the irony was that Herzl and his colleagues were secular Jews, and so the kibbutz movement was born out of Russian socialism, the idea that property would be shared and the wealth of the land would be distributed among the people. Religious Zionism really didn't come about until the 1960s, 1970s, when people like Menachem Begin and others started to use biblical texts to justify the colonization of the occupied territories. And this resonated with evangelicals in America particularly, who were encouraged to believe that the Bible was coming true, the Bible prophecies were somehow coming true after 2,000 years.
So essentially, it is a combination of that kind of historical accident, if you will, and a misreading of Old Testament prophecies that would properly be interpreted as applying to God's people today, the church, and misapplying it to a nationalist impulse among Jews dispersed worldwide.
Yes, that's correct. If we take, I've tried to do in my book Zion's Christian Soldiers is go back and start with a blank sheet of paper and say, what does the Bible say about chosenness? And what we find is a continuity between the Old and New Testament. God has only ever had one people who've been drawn of all races and nations. It's been a people who've been accepted by God on the basis of faith, faith in God's redemptive plan. And therefore, the idea of chosenness, or God's chosen people, for example, is a phrase used in the New Testament exclusively of followers of Jesus. It's never used in the New Testament to refer to the Jewish people or to a racial group. So we can deconstruct Zionism quite easily by simply showing the continuity rather than a discontinuity between Old and New Testaments.
When we come back, I wonder, are the advocates today of Christian Zionism aware of its real roots and its relatively recent pedigree? Our guest, Stephen Sizer, also says that Christian Zionism has certain cultic aspects to it. We'll find out what he means by that on the other side of the break. 15 more minutes with Stephen Sizer, vicar of Christ Church in Surrey, England, visiting lecturer at Wycliffe Hall in Oxford University and author of the books Zion's Christian Soldiers and Christian Zionism. Tuesday afternoon, August the 17th, our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. And in advance of the second hour of the program, we're going to be responding to a Leonard Pitts Jr. column in support of same-sex marriage. You can leave your comments there at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org, or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
They do see the fulfillment of these prophecies of the Hebrew prophets in the modern state of Israel, both observant Jews and pro-Israel Christians. When you stand for Israel, you're doing something important, you're doing something moral, you're doing something biblical. And if you're doing it with Jewish people, well, that's all the better, but not a moment for proselytizing. I don't believe Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. But my dear, dear Christian friends with whom I work every day believe he is.
That's David Brog, Executive Director of Christians United for Israel. Ironic that the head of an organization called Christians United for Israel would be a Jewish man who explicitly rejects Jesus Christ as the Messiah. It says a lot about the Christian Zionist movement, that simple fact alone. Stephen Sizer is our guest for another 15 minutes talking about Christian Zionism. You were talking before about the real history of the ideas behind and the movement of Christian Zionism. Are the, as far as you can tell, the major proponents of Christian Zionism aware of its true origins?
I think some of them are. I'm sure John Hagee is aware. We made a film recently with John Hagee, With God on Our Side. You can get details of that from withgodonourside.com. I think he's quite an intelligent man, but he knows which side of the bread is buttered. And there's a lot of money to be made from taking a pro-Zionist or pro-Israeli position. But I think a good number of Christian leaders are illiterate when it comes to church history. And the relatively recent origins of Christian Zionism. Cyrus Scofield's Bible, for example, and the whole rapture theology came about in the 1880s, 1890s. Prior to that, there was no rapture theology. So it's a relatively recent movement coinciding with the rise of the Adventist movement and some of the cults, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. So Christian Zionism has some rather unsavory bedfellows from the middle of the 19th century.
You say that Christian Zionism itself has certain aspects of it that you would classify as cultic. What do you mean and why?
I'd use the phrase cultic in the sense that what we see is Israel elevated as a racial phenomenon above the church, and political support for Zionism, which is, as we see in the occupied territories, quite a racist and xenophobic movement, ethnically cleansing the Palestinians, to use the Bible to justify what is in effect genocide is anathema to the teaching of Jesus and the New Testament. So what we see is, instead of the cross and the church being central to our theology, we're elevating a political system that is inherently racist. It becomes a religion of land and occupation, dispossession, rather than and confrontation. It's a very confrontational theology that justifies war, justifies ethnic cleansing, and that is light years away from the Sermon on the Mount, where we're told to love our enemies, pray for those who persecute us, and turn the other cheek. So it has cultic elements. I mean, elevating the Israeli flag alongside the cross in churches or outside churches, one has to ask, what on earth are we doing? It's a form of nationalism, and it should have no place within the church.
Chris is listening in Michigan. Chris, thank you for waiting on the line.
Yes, I was wondering if Christian Zionists are aware of the mistreatment and persecution of Palestinian Christians, as well as Torah Jews, who also object to Zionism.
Thank you, Chris, and thanks for listening in Michigan. Stephen.
Christians in the West, certainly in Britain and America, tend to have, they've been fed the lie that Palestinians are all terrorists, they're subhuman, they hate the Jewish people, and therefore the treatment is justified. The reality is that the vast majority of Palestinians repudiate violence, want to live in side by side alongside Israelis, have done so for hundreds of years. And as you point out, tragically, it's the Christian Palestinians who are caught in between Western Christian support for Israel and the Islamists on the other side. So Christians in the West are largely ignorant of the presence of an indigenous Christian church in Palestine, and it's very important that we work with them, we pray for them, and support them.
Does Christian Zionism teach or does it have the potential for fostering a two-track view of salvation? That is, one way of salvation for the ethnic Jews, and another for Gentiles?
They wouldn't put it so bluntly, but in reality, yes. John Hagee flips between saying God has a plan, a separate plan for the Jewish people, and then at other times he gives the impression he believes that God's will is that that God has one people, Jews and Gentiles. Christian Zionism is largely born out of what's known as dispensationalism, the idea that God has indeed two chosen peoples, the church and Israel, and therefore it is a bit like two railway lines, parallel tracks going on into the future. Old Testament prophecies and promises apply to the Jewish people today without passing through Jesus and without passing through the cross. So, yes, it's a twin-track approach, which is undermined in every book of the New Testament, where God's plan is very clearly to create one people of all nations on the basis of faith in Jesus, not on the basis of race or works. So it flies in the face of the gospel imperative and the creation of the church, which is intended to be for all nations.
What is Christian Zionism's approach to Christian proselytization?
Well, you will find organizations like Jews for Jesus that identify with elements of Christian Zionism. On their website, they say, "We out-Zion the Zionists." They do believe that Jews need to hear the good news of Jesus, and they do proselytize. Other organizations, such as Bridges for Peace, Christians United for Israel, and others, repudiate proselytism because they believe the Jews are either saved by virtue of their race, or they will believe in Jesus when he comes back. I think that's leaving it a bit late. And they therefore reinterpret Jesus' teaching on being fishers of men and sharing the good news, the gospel with Jews. They reinterpret that as blessing Israel materially and financially, and believe that this is how they demonstrate their love for Jewish people.
Bottom line then, Stephen, what is the danger of Christian Zionism?
Well, it sacralizes a political system that is justifying ethnic cleansing. It would be a little bit like listening to preachers in the South in the 1940s and 50s justifying slavery on the basis of the Bible, or denying civil rights to black people because somehow they are inferior. It's the same theology that some of the Puritans and settlers used to justify the ethnic cleansing of the indigenous North American Indians, or the theft of their land. It's a theology that that polarizes, that perpetuates conflict, and tragically does not demonstrate a genuine love for Jewish people. It is, as we will see in the months to come, encouraging America to join Israel in a preemptive strike against Iran. John Hagee said recently, America must join Israel in a preemptive military strike against Iran to fulfill Bible prophecy and speed the return of Christ. You only have to go back 20, 30 years, and these guys were predicting a war with Iraq to fulfill Bible prophecy. And 20 or 30 years earlier than that, people like Hal Lindsey predicting a war with Russia to speed the return of Christ. There's collective amnesia when it comes to recent history, but it's essentially an apocalyptic theology that is perpetuating and encouraging conflict rather than peace and reconciliation. So it's not in the best interest of Israelis or Arabs or the West. It's deeply detrimental to the work of the gospel and the future of the church, particularly in the Middle East.
Stephen Sizer is Vicar of Christ Church in Surrey, England. He's visiting lecturer at Wycliffe Hall at Oxford University and author of the books Zion's Christian Soldiers and Christian Zionism. You can find out more about these books under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Stephen, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, the 17th of August. Frank Turek will be with us. We'll be talking about a recent Leonard Pitts Jr. column in support of same-sex marriage and the legal overturning of California Prop 8. He says the judge there, Judge Von Walker, was not biased, although he is openly gay, and that his decision was legally and logically sound. And he's critical of those who question the judge's decision. We'll also respond with Frank Turek to some other arguments that are being made in favor of same-sex marriage nationally. That's hour two of Issues Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.